Oh, some vending machine ASMR. Not a lot of that happened in Korea. Man, for 60 Taiwanese dollars, which is a lot, you can get organic black tea, Henwu Original, in a big bottle with it just like a very simple label. This almost looks like it's homemade or something. I'm curious about that, but that's not what I'm here for today. Today, I'm here for peanut soup, which is 35, still a little bit. For comparison, most stuff is 20. A can of Coke is 20. So 35 is a little bit much. 60 is way more than everything else, but man, maybe that's delicious. Maybe I will get one after. 35. Clunk. So yeah, this peanut soup thing, I noticed this a while ago. I think I noticed it at the Memorial Museum. Ooh, it's really cold. And I was like, oh, I'll try that eventually. And then I've passed it a couple of times in this one machine. It's not a very common item, but it's at this one machine near my place with some beautiful views of the mountains in the distance. I'm not too far from the 1300 steps that go up to the monkey trail. But just this thing looks so fucking gross on the can, because the picture is just, it's just called peanut soup, and it is just, it's halal, incidentally. It's just a bowl with wet peanuts in water, is what it looks like. And I got to assume that's not what this is, right? Like, I assume when I open this, there's not going to be literal peanuts in water, but maybe there is. It just looks so unappetizing. And I love peanuts. I love peanuts. I think it's it might even be one of those weird things where when you have a very, very slight allergy to something, it can make you desire it. Have you ever experienced that? Where sometimes I get this weird, like, itch in my inner ear. It's like an itch that I can't scratch when I eat peanuts and peanut stuff. But I love peanut butter. I love peanut chiffon pie. I love Reese peanut butter cups. I love everything peanut. I can't think of a single peanut product, up to and including peanuts, that I don't like. And as for peanut drinks, I was thinking of, like, there's a jerk chicken place. I can't remember what that chain is called, but there's, like, a Caribbean chicken place in Toronto that you can buy in just little juice cartons, like these little cartons of, man, what is that one called? It's like a pasty peanut drink. It's kind of thick, and it's really sweet. It is almost like drinking just liquefied peanut butter, but it is really good. So yeah, this is a weird case where it's a peanut product, and I deliberately didn't buy it the other day. I'm like, oh, it just looks gross. And I went home and I Googled it, and I just looked it up a little. I don't know, I guess, because it's such a strange presentation too, peanut soup. Like, I guess I just wanted to make sure, like, this isn't just some, ingredient, is it? I don't have to take this home and add water and boil it up like actual soup? I don't think so. I think it's just a drink. But anyway, that's the big exciting start to this episode, is I'm going to open this and try it. But yeah, basically, it's been a couple of days. In the last episode, I distinctly said, like, my chances of going back hiking, where I was hiking last episode, were 0.0% because it was so unbearably hot. And today's really no different. It's at least not a thundery day. The thunderstorm days on the weather report are at least a little intermittent now. They're at least a little scattered. It's not every single day. But I did wake up the next day and my mind immediately went back to, like, oh, you know, if I just took the brown line on the MRT, on the train, I could get right back there. Or I could start experimenting with the buses and get closer to the national park. But it's just so hot. I just can't do it. It's just too fucking hot. But obviously my brain is still like, that is what you want to do though. You do want to go do that stuff. So you're going to have to pull the trigger eventually and just deal with the heat. But not today. Oh, is there a little, there's a disposable spoon included. The top of this thing. Yeah, I also, pursuant to last episode, I also did go buy a nice little sling to put around my shoulder just to hold a spare bottle of water. So now I can have two bottles of water easily. Because, yeah, that shit was not on. That was too dangerous and weird. All right, so I take the little plastic lid off, and now there's a spoon. Disconnect the spoon. fold the spoon out. Like, if this is a drink I'm supposed to drink, what's with the spoon? Maybe this literally is peanuts in a creepy peanut water. All right, I've extended the spoon, so I have a little spoon. Now I gotta crack the top of this thing. Ew. Yeah, no, so it is exactly like the picture on the front. It's just the palest, whitest peanuts you've ever seen in a weird, creepy soup. But where the picture on the front just looks like water, it's even worse in real life because there's just particles and weird stuff floating in it. And it smells kind of peanutty. Just what a weird product. What the fuck is this? So yeah, I guess I use this spoon to just spoon out some peanuts in peanutty water. It's just like peanuts in water, but because they've been floating in water all this time, they're not at all firm or crunchy. They're just soft. And it doesn't really taste like peanuts anymore, and the water itself is just kind of vaguely sugary. No fucking thank you. All right, well, this is a historic day. The first time I've ever had a peanut-based product that I don't like. My initial fear was totally right. I just assumed I would buy this thing. Like, I didn't know why I kept putting it off. Usually I'm excited to find something new in a machine, and it's like, cool, let's try it. Let's see what this is. But something about this one, I was like, this just looks so awful. This cannot be something that I want. And it's fucking not. Ugh, luckily I'm in a park near a public washroom, because I'm gonna have to go like flush this stuff so I can at least just like dispose of the can, because what am I supposed to do? I'm not eating this shit. This sucks. Okay, one more mouthful. It doesn't taste bad. It tastes like almost nothing. The peanuts have no taste, and the water's just vaguely sugary. Man. But yeah. Ooh, the texture is all soft and soft peanuts. What the fuck is this? Why do they make this? What is this product? The fuck? Because I did like a little bit of research. I basically found a website that was selling it. And I don't know, that was enough for me, I guess, just to say like, okay, I mean, it's a thing. I don't know. Somehow that gave me a little faith that it's something somebody might want. But this is actually exactly what it looks like, exactly what I feared it would be, just peanuts in water. But I thought at least the peanuts would be like peanutty, not all soft. Yuck. Anyway. So that was a weird start to the episode, but I was like, I gotta go do it, man. Get your big brave balls on. It's a weird thing in a vending machine. If you don't do it, you're gonna regret it. You're gonna think back and be like, what about that thing in Taiwan that I never tried? Why didn't I try it? Well, I tried it. It was fucking sick. Actually, I'll just go back and buy one of those teas. Those teas looked really cool, the premium tea. So yeah, I'll get that instead. That'll be the success for today, is that it made me notice the cool, fancy tea in the machine. But man, peanut soup. I don't know. I was gonna say maybe you'll know if you want this, if this is the thing that you would want, but you don't want this. I don't know what this is. It doesn't taste bad, but it doesn't taste good. I don't like it. First ever bad peanut product. Wow. Anyway, that was my only plans for today, so let's just fade out and we'll fade back in when something else happens to me. Like this happened to me. Peanut soup happened to me. Like it flew out of the sky and hit me in the face. Ah, shit. I was assaulted by peanut soup. Jeez, I think that's also, I mean, I'm trying to think of what are the worst things I've gotten out of machines. There's that amazake stuff that was like a weird sort of milky, alcohol-free sake type thing. That was definitely gross. I didn't like that stuff. But was it worse than this? I don't know. Maybe. It wasn't good. But they're both about the same. They're comparably bad. And now with a random song on the wind, let's fade out. Welly. So I took the last couple of days off from hiking in the extreme heat and getting rained on. Seemed like a good policy. Oh, by the way, that soup that I had, the peanut soup, I looked it up on YouTube. The full name, I guess, is peanut milk soup. Though milk content is extremely low. It's not really milk. It is just watery, sugary water. And it's funny, I found three people try it. And the first two reacted exactly like me. They tried it. They were like, oh, no, thank you. And they threw it away. They did not finish it. The third person was like, oh, yeah, I heard this is like the number one most popular dessert soup in Taiwan. And they tried it and they were like, this seems okay. So they purported to like it, but then the video ended and they didn't actually eat any more. So, you know, take that as you will. Some people did say it's better hot. You take it home, you heat it up. Anyway, not recommended. Peanut milk soup, get the fuck out of here. But yeah, the last couple of days it's actually been not extremely hot and it hasn't rained very much. I've definitely noticed, like, there is a distinct difference between hot and insane. You know, things were hot on Jeju, but not insane. Because even these last couple of days, like, it's been hot. I have been sweaty. But it wasn't like last episode when I deliberately went hiking in an extreme heat day, where I was literally soaked, you know, like my whole shirt and my pants were wet like I had walked into a lake. Like, it can get pretty hot. It can be 34, 35 degrees, and you don't sweat like that. I don't know, it's just some combination of the humidity and stuff that just something goes fucking haywire and everything just gets crazy. So yeah, it's been hot, but not, you know, it's all relative. Hasn't really rained that much. So today I was like, yeah, well, again, let's just try it. I don't know, unpredictable. Trying to predict the weather around here ain't gonna happen. So I bought a couple bottles of water. I got a backup bottle of water in my water sling now. I just bought a little shoulder bag from Daiso just to put a bottle of water in. And I heard thunder rumbling. Again, the telltale. I've been having my sleep schedule's all fucked up as usual. So, and it was like 2 in the afternoon. It's like, yeah, this is a bit late to get started. But I was like, I don't know, I'll just go to those historic steps up to the monkey trail or something. I don't need to do something new today. I'll just go on one of the old hikes, but you know, just an excuse to get out and go hiking. Okay. I don't need to go to a new place. I'll just go to one of the old hikes, you know, just an excuse to go outside, get some exercise. Oh man, this poor lady. She went in this Family Mart, bought an umbrella for this weather because she's got two kids on a stroller. So she bought an umbrella and she's trying to cover the kids. The kids are pretty covered, but she's unfortunately not. She's only getting her head and shoulders. She's going to be soaked soon. Oh, the trials and tribulations of being a ma. But yeah, I was just going to stop in. I like to stop at multiple. There's so many Family Marts and 7-Elevens and High Life. And I found a very rare fourth store called the OK Store or something. But there's so many I like to stop in multiple waves. So in the first one, I bought my water and I got an onigiri, got a coffee. Then I was gonna stop in this second one, get another coffee, get some dried fruit just to tuck away for hiking. And I got a lemon guava sorbet ice bar from the Fami collection, the Family Mart fucking ice cream bar collection. Very delicious. But yeah, on the way here, I heard the rumble of thunder very loud behind me, but I couldn't see, you know, the telltale clouds. I was like looking around and I'm like, man, that's very loud, very evident thunder. But the sky's clear today. What's going on? All the other days, at least, I saw the clouds coming. And yeah, just in the time it took for me to go into this convenience store, buy three things and step out, it was this. It's what you're hearing now. It's totally insane. And yeah, I guess maybe this is why I didn't see the other days that it stormed. It's like very dark gray skies, where today it's raining really hard, but the sky is just a nice light pastel blue, you know? It's just not gray. It's not dark skies. It's overcast, it's clouds, but somehow it's still like light blue. So this was just a weird one. Just more in the rain report of what happens in Taipei in the summer. It's near the end of August now. It's just insane. You just can't predict at all what's gonna happen. And like, it was like raining a teeny bit when I went into this Family Mart. Within, you know, 3 fucking minutes, it turned into rain world. It's just like, holy fuck. So again, I guess I'm just lucky. I'm getting near the steps. I guess I'm just lucky that this happened before I got there. So I'm just standing under an awning now. And it's like, oh, well, just stand under here, sip at my coffee. Because I guess this is what's nice. This is what I've learned that I haven't been able to take advantage of yet. Last time I got caught in the rain was laundry day. And I ended up hiking home in the fucking rain and just getting destroyed. Because I didn't know when it was going to stop. I thought it was just going to rain forever. But that's when I learned that this happens like potentially every day. Around 2 o'clock, between 2 and 5, it's going to rain. So today it started raining somewhere before 2:30. And it's coming up on 3 o'clock now. So I mean, I guess that's the thing. Now I know I don't need to walk through this. I could just stand here and wait for it to stop. Probably that's what I need to do. I mean, there's just no other reasonable thing, no other reasonable option here. But it might be a while. I don't know, I guess I'll give it an hour. Give it an hour and see, because it might just stop, it might just be over. It's already, seems like it's calming down. I don't know, I guess I'll just stand here and fucking read some comics on my phone or something. It's not so bad, like, it's kind of neat, it's kind of nice. It's kind of ASMR-like to just be under an awning while it's raining. I'm not in the rain. I'm nice and safe from the rain. And I guess just now that I know it's going to stop, it's like, that's no biggie. Can just chill. Can just hold on. And this guy's walking by with like a plastic bag over his book bag. I saw a lady walking earlier, so he's the example of someone who's prepared. I saw a lady earlier walking with her dog, and yeah, she got caught completely unawares. She was just soaked. And that wouldn't even be, I don't know, wouldn't be the worst if we didn't live in a smartphone age. I mean, getting your wallet wet, that's a definite problem. And I guess that was always been a problem since time immemorial, which to me is the 80s to present. But yeah, having smartphones now, it really fucks things up. I guess the joke version is like, back in the day, you could prank people by pushing them in a pool. Where now if you prank someone by pushing them in a pool, you've just cost $1,000 because you ruined their phone. I mean, it was never a funny thing to do in the first place. It's kind of nice, I guess, that we've moved beyond pushing people in pools. But yeah, you just can't do that anymore. People have computers in their pants pocket. But yeah, it really means getting caught in the rain is a whole new world of getting fucked. So anyway, yeah, it is, it's calming a bit, but it's still raining pretty hard, so I guess I'll just stand here. Guess I'll just stand here and see what happens. Well, that wasn't too bad. I only had to wait about 20 minutes before the rain calmed down enough that I could justify walking out into it, and then by the time I got to the trail, it was pretty much done. Man, though, yeah, this particular weather hasn't changed. It's still just this light blue everywhere, so it is really humid. It's like, it's that steam of a, like getting out of a steamy shower feel. I was sweating like a maniac coming up those stairs. And it's weird, as you get higher up, seeing the view out over the city, it's like, how much of this is the weather? How much of this is pollution? I think the pollution is a little bad today. It's in the 60s, the AQI. So I think it's a strange mix of both. And then at the top, there's a squat porta potty, which at this point is like not even worth mentioning. It's just a part of my life that seemed like such a crazy thing. It's like taking the squat toilet up to a new level. Now it's just like, hey, whatever. But I'm just mentioning it because I did notice that there was, it's nice that they have this, but along the back wall was just 2 AA batteries connected to one little LED, one light emitting diode. And obviously it's so you can use that thing at night, but I mean, it's pretty creepy in there to begin with, even just in the afternoon. Being in there at night with just the one little light. I bet that's legitimately scary. This mountain road, this fucking weird squat porta potty, I would not want to be the person who gets trapped in there at night. It's nice that they have the light, but geez, scary. So I'm back on the monkey trail and I still see no monkeys. Thought maybe right after a rain or something, maybe it'd be different monkey weather, but I suppose actually this is probably more likely to make the monkeys have gone away, right? They probably scattered away while it rained. Why come back out once you're scattered? And again, it's fine. This is a neat trail. It's really neat to just walk along the side of this cliff. Because obviously it's not that cliff-like because I'm so scared of heights. If it was scary, I would tell you about it. This is very comfortable and just a neat, wide walking path along the side of a cliff. I guess, like I said last time, it's more the concern of, like, what if a rock did fall from here? It would cave your skull in. But who knows? Maybe we'll see some monkeys. We'll see. I guess my question now is, when I get to the end of this path, do I go farther up? Or I think there's an alternate path down, and I feel like maybe that's the better idea. You know, just a nice little walk up to the monkey path. It's so neat that I'm, you know, my next Airbnb will be across the river from Shimen, which I realize some people call that neighborhood Shimending. So that's kind of cool because that neighborhood is neat and that's where I was when I first got to Taipei. I'll be within walking distance of that. I can just walk across the bridge and be right there. But to get to everywhere else, I'm going to have to take transit. So this is a nice little, while this is within walking distance, this is literally up the street from this current Airbnb. It's just neat. Come here, walk up the 1300 steps, walk along the monkey trail, see nary a monkey, but it's just nice. Just a nice little stroll. So yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I really do want to go farther up because then what? I did figure out a bit of the buses. There's basically only, there's like a major route, one big major road that heads up this mountain. That's what I walked down last time I was up here. So there's buses that go up there. But then this little bus stop that I'm walking toward now that I found last time, it looks like I got to go over to Beitou Station and take a bus from there, and it'll take me across to here. So I could take a bus to get here too, but it's not even that hard to get here. It's really not that far of a walk. It's so hard for me to wake up early. It's like impossible. That's my real problem. And sleeping in really is not so bad because it's kind of better to let... Jesus Christ, guys. Yeah, no monkeys today, just cicada town. What the fuck? I mean, yeah, it's not the worst thing to sleep in and let the heat of midday pass by. It's just that it gets dark so early. The getting dark by 7 o'clock thing makes things tricky. But yeah, I'm also a little hesitant on the buses because I've just been keeping my eye on them. And every time I see a bus go by, I don't know, either it's completely empty or it's completely packed. So I don't really want to plan on a bus because if it's completely packed, I don't want to get on that shit. Ah, yeah, this is a nice view. You can't see a ton of view from up here, but once in a while, there's a break in the trees and man, that's nice. Yeah, I suspect when I get to the new place, I'll just get into the routine of just taking the train. No big deal, I can still do all this stuff I've been doing. Taipei is still a very small city. Pretty easy to get where you're going. I'll just have to make hopping on the train at the start part of the routine. Oh yeah, here we go. Yeah, this part. Wow. This cliffside is scary as fuck. It's just like a literal cliffside. It's just giant fucking rocks. Man, I guess you live up there somewhere, monkeys. But as a person with a nice soft head, it's a little scary. And yeah, this is nice. I know I said it last time, but definitely recommend it. The historic Tianmu Trail up to the monkey path. Very easy to get to and very fucking cool. All right, this is pretty cool. So I was kind of stuck at a crossroads a little bit of, do I go higher up or do I just bail out now from the monkey trail? Because going up, it's like, it's only a little farther from the monkey trail to where I found a bus stop before. And there is a path near there I was curious about. And it's like, well, it wouldn't be that far to go to the beginning of that path. And then I could go up there. But I guess the problem is none of these things are that hard to get to and won't take that long. But each bit that I add on is more that I've got to deal with to get home. You know, the higher up the mountain I get, the harder it is to get back afterward. And even though it's like not even quite 4 o'clock, the 7 o'clock darkness hour really sneaks up on you. I noticed yesterday, actually, it was like pitch black even before 7. And from up there, like I said, there's bus stops, and it probably wouldn't be that hard to get looped back around to like the McDonald's and stuff there and the major route. But I mean, that was a long walk down that route to get home, you know, still not close. But then I saw, because the other idea is there's this walkway that goes down from there at the west end of the monkey trail. And I saw a local lady just coming up from there. So I was like, that's a sign. That's a sign from the heavens. That lady's coming up from this path. I'm gonna take that as an indicator that I should go down that path. But then still, to make it a bit more adventure-y, midway down that path split. There was the major route that had the big stone walkway and some benches and stuff. And then there was just a little path. So I'm on the little path, and it's a little tricky. There's some fallen logs on parts of the path, and but like, even though this is a way rougher path, everything is still so well maintained in Taipei. It's ludicrous, even rough paths, because if it does get really steep, the couple of points where it does, they've got ropes set up that you can hold on to help guide yourself down. So I'm literally just going down the side of the cliff, down the side of the jungle cliff. But it's like not that bad. Not in a scary way, just in a cool, nice, adventure-y way. It's a little slippery because it rained so much before. There's an occasional mosquito or two. That was happening to me too when I was trapped under the awning at the Family Mart. There was only one mosquito in there, but that's another reason why I only hung out for 20 minutes, is I was just getting tired of that little one mosquito. I haven't had very many problems with mosquitoes on this whole adventure. But man, surprising how one or two mosquitoes can just fuck shit up. And here's a little wooden plaque hanging from a tree. But whatever's written on it is written in Chinese and is very weathered. But it's two arrows, one ahead and one to the left. I don't know what you're referring to. I don't see anything to the left. I just see a quite steep... Oh, I guess you can go up from here? Interesting. Jeez. I don't know where the fuck that brings you to. Somewhere midway through the monkey trail, I guess, but I didn't even see the entrance to that. Anyway, just head down here on the slippery rocks. But again, there's a nice guide rope. And I feel like I can hear water, but it's really hard to tell because I mainly can only hear cicadas. And my one water bottle is almost gone. And yeah, it's just such a nice feeling, because especially if I had gone farther up, like, yeah, this is just one water bottle. It's just not enough water. It's not even close to enough water. Even this, which I would call a quite small adventure, quite a limited little wee afternoon adventure, I'm still almost ready to break out the second water bottle. So yeah, that was an extremely good move. Just going to the Daiso and... buying a little fucking... There's a whole variety of little slings you can sling over your shoulder that are just big enough for a bottle of water. If I really try hard, I can squeeze my umbrella in there too, but that's tricky. It's pretty much literally just a water bag. And it was an extremely good move. I can't believe I took... Well, I guess I was going to say I can't believe I took this long. But again, I guess it's just because I had my jacket with me in Korea, and it had pockets, so that's all. It actually hasn't been that long, just while I've been in Taiwan. But yeah, this weather, I can't even imagine. Because, you know, there was those weird times on Jeju, like the time I missed the bus and I was stuck outside till 3 in the morning. Where suddenly, even though it's been hot as hell all day, it's like, whoa, I'm glad I got this jacket. I can't even imagine that. I cannot even muster up enough fear of the of exposure to carry a jacket around. There's no way. It seems so insane to have any extra layers. It's even a little insane just to be wearing a shirt. Realistically, I should be a topless man if I was just living my life as a normal human is supposed to live in this fucking environment. But anyway, that led to me not having extra pockets. So the bottle sling is the shit. Oh, there we go. I did hear water. So it's just a little teeny, like very teeny little waterfall I can see from here, like 2 feet tall. Yeah, it's a little stream-sized river, one of those little mini rivers with orange silt, orange banks. Yeah, this is pretty steep and slippery. Let's very carefully get down to there. Yeah, this is kind of pretty. It's kind of neat because this whole jungle area is just really green with, you know, bits of brown just from the dirt and the rocks and stuff. And this river is like bright orange, orangey, a little brownish orange, gold colored kind of, or like copper, I guess. Copper is the right color. Like a bright copper colored river. Just making its way through here. Oh man, though, this is the trickiest part of this walk for sure. Thank you, guide ropes. I will take you. What the? Where'd that come from? There's another way down here that is way more gradual. It has little stone steps. Shit, oh well. Oh, there we go. There's a bigger waterfall. Still only like 10 feet tall, maybe? But that's not bad. Oh, no shit, it's bigger than I thought it was. What the fuck is this? Oh my god, this is beautiful. So like the main thrust of the waterfall is quite small, but there's a little narrower rivulet of water from way, way up. Oh, this is really fucking pretty. Even me, a noted waterfall hater, this is fucking gorgeous. Just in this nice little enclosed area but then the cliffs go way up to Monkey Town. Alright, I'm on the Banling Trail by complete accident. I connected up to this and this is Suifeng Falls, T-S-U-I-F-E-N-G Falls. And again, the magic of having a phone. On the map, it says I can continue along, but I don't know. Oh, maybe there's a little bit of a path. I guess we'll see. And then that connects to some kind of road. Okay, and then I guess, yeah, I just gotta loop slowly around. This will eventually get me back to town in a gradual way. But yeah, this is great. I kind of thought this was like, oh, I'm just kind of bailing out because I didn't get that much sleep today and whatever. Just want a little adventure. This is awesome. I love when that happens. This is so unexpected. Instead of going up the mountain, going down the mountain was the right call. This is really good. This is super worth it. Especially, again, like you're already at the Monkey Trail. This is so insane too, dude. I walked out of my apartment. And then I just have to go half a block to the right to get to a major street. And there's this sign, this big poster of Bill Gates, and it's about stopping polio. And it's weird that I use Bill Gates as my indicator of how to get home, but he's the landmark. That's where I know that's where my Airbnb is. But then on that major street, I just hang a left and literally just walk straight down it. And at the end of that street is the beginning of this, the historic trail. And then you walk up the steps, which again, 1,300 steps sounds like a lot. It's no big deal. It's very easy. And then the monkey path is right there. And then you go down from the monkey path. And I guess you do have to take the somewhat rougher way down. But I'm at a beautiful waterfall. This is like, it's a really good waterfall. My God, this is good. It just, I don't know, it's so cool because the waterfall itself, like there's the little rivulet that starts from way high up. The bigger part, like it's again, maybe, I don't know, it's not that high up. 12 feet, 15 feet, I'm not good at heights. Not like impressive, it's just it's the environment, not the water. It's the environment that is the part that's cool. It's like this little enclosed grove. And just seeing the trees stretch up around. I do kind of suspect though, I guess because like the Congo Falls and stuff that I saw in West Tokyo, I was there in wintertime or like late fall. I bet they would have been a little more lush and beautiful in the summer. Like I'm here at the perfect time. Like there's little red flowers around and all the trees are full power. But also just this oxidized rock or whatever the fuck is going on here that makes this all orange. This is awesome. This is immediately jumping up to one of my favorite waterfalls. Like, wow. It's so cool. It's so nice. Just feels good. And there's not a goddamn soul here. That's neat, too. You know, I liked those $2 waterfalls on Jeju. They were kind of cool. But it's way cooler to just, like, is that water I hear? To just have no idea, to not even know. I guess that's the thing, too. I guess this is the first time I think I've ever just bumped into a really pretty waterfall by accident. You know, it's usually like a goal. It's like, okay, I'm trying to get to this waterfall. And then you get there and you're like, yeah, all right. Maybe I've stolen that from you now that you know it's here. But it's a really good feeling. It feels really cool. Man, this is nice. This is fucking nice. Man, I think this is the best quote-unquote bailout of a plan of all time. I'm sure going further up the mountain would be cool, and you know, hopefully I'll still pull that off eventually, but there's no way it would be as good as this. No fucking way. This is fucking beautiful. So you can just keep walking down along the side of the river. At first it was reminding me a lot of the Congo Falls in West Tokyo, but those really were just woods and just like a forestry access road. Very pretty in its own way, but just literal raw woods out in West Tokyo. Where this is way more lush, it could partially be the time of year too. But yeah, just greenery everywhere. And the only flowers really, it's like these red flowers that don't pop up a lot, but there's just enough of them sprinkled around that it's like, oh man, that's fucking pretty. And yeah, it's just this little trail alongside the river. Oh, I guess these red things, they're not even flowers, really. It is just, or maybe they were flowers. I don't know, they just look like, it's weird, they almost look like pine needles, but they're red. I guess they're just very narrow flowers at this point in their life cycle. Little, long, narrow red flowers. But yeah, it's just beautiful, man. I thought this was like, yeah, I'm just wussing out today, wussing out of the adventure early. I had no fucking idea this was here. I had no fucking idea. This is so cool. It is mildly creepy, though, that I just passed a locked, gated door. And I guess there's a bit of a path I can sort of see. Maybe it was a path at one point, and now it's just too dangerous, or maybe it sort of looks like a path, but it's not, and people were making a mistake in going that way. So they set up a whole literal door on the edge of the cliffside. And they're like, you cannot. Don't fucking go this way. Go down these little steps over here. But also it's weird. You know, at some point you're right by the water. At some point you're higher up. I looked down and I saw a person. So So I was like, all right, presumably I'll pass them soon. But then they just disappeared. Where did they fucking go? They went somewhere else. Oh, okay. There's like steps down here. So I guess they came from further down the river, but it looks like at this point I'm gonna cross over the river. Oh yeah, talk about breaking the illusion. What the fuck? Yeah, I was just like, whoa, it was so deep in the woods and a guy just disappeared and the scary door and like all this stuff, but it's so cool and the adventure. Peering through the trees, I just saw a car go by across this little bridge. Here we go, it's a little bridge crossing the river and it connects to a full-on road. Oh geez, that's one thing though. I walked through four, that was my fourth spider web. I guess because it's getting a little later in the day and it's pretty dim in here because I'm under the jungle canopy. I keep walking into spider webs. I walked under the first one. I was really careful to walk under it. Yeah, I walked straight into like four more. So I guess people don't go here very often. Sorry spiders, I don't mean to fuck with your shit. I just literally am not seeing you. Well, I've walked right into you. So yeah, that guy I saw hiking, I still don't know where he came from. But here's like a road going up into the mountains. Oh yeah, there were signs, by the way, more of those little signs just hung on trees that I could not read, but I just took the path that stayed near the river. And I'm at like a little intersection of streets, but all right, Banling Trail further on, 150 meters, 5 minutes. Maybe that's where I want to go, but there's a road that goes down, but this road that goes up, 250 meters, 7 minutes, not that far to Banling Suspension Bridge. But I hate suspension bridges. They scare the shit out of me. Yeah, I was kind of hoping, I remember seeing just one of the times I was looking at a map, I saw something about a suspension bridge being closed. I was like, maybe it's this one. Maybe that's a nice excuse that I don't need to go there. But yeah, if it's that short of a walk, my pre-downloaded Google map says nothing about it being closed. And there's no Wi-Fi here. So I guess I have to go. But I might not go across it. I might just look at it. Yeah, suspension bridges, man. I've never been on a suspension bridge that I like. They scare the fuck out of me. Some little stone monuments. Well, all right then. Fuck me. All of a sudden, this adventure got a lot less fun. But when a suspension bridge is that close, if it was like, you know, many kilometers away, I'd say fuck it. But 250 meters is very fucking close. So let's go. Let's go get scared. All right, this doesn't look that bad. It's a really narrow little bridge, like only wide enough for one person, but it's got like netting on each side. So I feel like even if I passed out halfway across this thing, I still wouldn't fall to my death. Like the netting would catch me. Oh, okay, now I'm walking out. And it's not like too high up. If this was way high up, what's that suspension bridge? I mean, any one of various suspension bridges in British Columbia can all go fuck themselves. I hate that shit. And I guess it wasn't a suspension bridge, but the bridge of the three Pei waterfalls in Jeju, the final one I went to, that bridge scared the shit out of me. Like, if this was that high up, I would not do this. Yeah, this isn't that bad. This is like, if I fell down here, I would sprain my ankle. I'd probably break my ankle, but I wouldn't die. Again, I'm so bad at judging heights, but yeah, I'm looking right down at it. This is fine. I feel all right. I'm not scared of this. I mean, I say that. I feel it. I feel like butterflies are in my knees, which is a weird feeling. But yeah, this is all right. This is fine. Nice. All right, I just crossed. Well, not quite. Almost. Bounce, bounce, bounce. There we go. I just crossed the suspension bridge. I did it. Sweet. Except Actually, I think I might have to go back across and go back, because I think the other way was what would take me home. I don't know where this is. Maybe, I mean, I'm on the other side of the river now. This path goes up, but to where? Maybe I could go up to the top of the waterfall, but I mean, that's traditionally not a great experience either. Yeah, I'm afraid I don't know. It just goes up. It goes up further. Toward just more of the Banling Trail, I guess, or something. So anyway, yeah, I guess I'm going back. Let's go back across the suspension bridge. Again, this is something maybe later, maybe some other time. And if I want to, again, foreshorten the journey, there are bus stops I'm heading toward. The road I'm heading toward does have some bus stops. Shamao Road, S-H-A-M-A-O Road. And today my plan is just to walk down Shamao Road. It'll take me roughly back to where I started, back to the beginning. Hey, almost exactly back to the beginning of the Tianmu Historic Trail. So yeah, maybe some other day I'll come back here and figure out what the fuck this is all about. But yeah, this has been a fantastic mega success. I cannot believe how cool this has been. This alternate route is fucking awesome. I guess also compared to, how I got off the mountain the first time when I continued on. Since I continued on up the mountain a little bit, but not that far. So basically I just got to a bus stop and then I followed a road and I got to a McDonald's and then I just walked down a major route back down the mountain. So compared to that, I mean, it functionally got me home. This is nice. I'm right in the middle of the suspension bridge and I'm not even scared. I love this large amount of netting on the sides. I mean, it's still like large squares, you know, that I can stick my arm through, but it's more than enough to feel secure. Yeah, I'm not even scared. This is a nice fucking, this is my favorite all-time suspension bridge because it's almost unnecessary. But yeah, compared to that, because that was, you know, a utilitarian walk home next to a bus route, traffic. This has been super gorgeous. This is like 1 million times a nicer way to get down the mountain. I mean, I found an all-timer, small but awesome waterfall. Walked along the beautiful riverside. Came to a suspension bridge that didn't even scare me. What did I do to deserve this? God is shining down on me right now. And now I'll just walk down a little road that didn't seem especially busy till I get back home. It's not quite 5 o'clock. It's still light out. Oh, I say that, it's almost 5:30. All right, so I got a solid hour of daytime and then it's gonna start getting dark fast. But that's just right, just enough to get home. So yeah, man, thanks to that lady who walked up this trail right as I was passing and made up my mind for me. I mean, I probably would have come down this way anyway. Going up the mountain, just especially now that I'm realizing just how fast the day is getting away from me. Like, boo-hoo, I have a hard time waking up early. Well, if I want to go up into the national park, then I got no choice. I have to get up early. This was a nice late afternoon adventure. And as far as that goes, man, 10 out of 10. This is fucking beautiful. And apparently, I walked into one more spider web even on the way to this fucking suspension bridge. People don't come here, I guess. Or the spiders are just mega industrious. Maybe a little of both. But yeah, fully recommended. 100% recommended. This is such a cool little walk and it's so goddamn accessible. It's ridiculous. It is so easy to get to. You don't have to take no buses. You don't have to figure out any complicated routes. Depending on what part of Taipei you're staying in, you might not even need to take the metro. But even if you do need to take the metro, still real easy to get here. Well, it's not going to get fucking better than that, son, unless I find a literal chest full of ancient gold doubloons. And even if I did find that, that would actually cause me a lot of problems. Having to explain, like, I couldn't leave the country with it. I couldn't travel with it. I guess I would just have to turn it into the authorities, and even that would just be a lot of weird questions. So, yeah, I think today has reached its peak. This is as good as it gets, man. Fucking delightful. And the rain, yeah, wasn't even that bad today, and it's already passed by. The daily rain is done. Chances are I'm gonna walk home in a humid and sweaty, but not being rained upon state. And I got the all-important key up for future adventure. I can go back to that suspension bridge, keep going upward and see what happens. Hey, there's even a squat porta potty, which I know by walking by. Classic porta potty, looks just like North America, except the men and women sign is still blue man, red woman, which they do all over Asia and not in North America. But it's got the extra laminated symbol outside of a squat toilet. They just want to warn you before you even open the door. They don't want you to open the door and go, ah, oh, god damn it. They want you to know. And yeah, I'm still walking down the river. I'm on the other side now. And I'm on a proper road. But yeah, it's still orange. It's still this cool orange color. But it's got the super jungle-ish plant life and leaves. Beautiful. Oh, here's a little water bottle wedged. It's wedged between, there's like these barricades to make sure you don't fall down the riverbank. It's wedged between the barricade and a tree, and at first I thought it was garbage, but it hasn't been opened. So I mean, probably it's garbage. Probably it's just abandoned. But maybe someone put it there, like, intending to come get it next time, to have, like, water tucked away and ready. And I mean, yeah, it's like, it's a water bottle, it hasn't been opened. It's been here a while, but that's interesting. That's the best kind of garbage, that if you just really did need water. There it is. Yeah, and this road also goes higher up. Lord knows where that goes to. But I'm taking the down route. Yeah, and here we go. Look at this, a bus stop. Railing Bridge, Fude Temple, F-U-D-E, which goes to Shippai Station, number 36. Does not have an LCD screen, but it does have a little plastic chair, one single plastic chair, in case you wanna, for those who like to rock. And there is a sign with the different timetables and schedules. So, very little English. Oh, there's some English. I guess there's enough English. Hours of operation, 6 a.m. to 11:50 at night. Fare zone 1. Okay, I didn't really realize there were different fare zones, but I guess that makes sense. Oh, and here's all the different times. Some of them are in red. I wonder what that means. Maybe on, like, holidays, those ones don't run. So, just out of curiosity, so it's 5:30 right now. Oh, there's a bus coming in like a minute. So I'm just going to keep walking because I don't need the bus. So I don't want him to see me standing there, and then he'll stop, and then I'll have to awkwardly say, sorry, I was just fucking around. Yeah, this is actually a really nice mountain road. And then when I get to the bottom and when it reconnects me to the main city, oh, this must be Fude Temple. Well, let's go take a gander. Yeah, when I get to the bottom, 7-Elevens, onigiri, and ice cream bars all around. Wow, so from here there's a sign, Hong Tan, a little over a kilometer, about 40 minutes. I don't even know what the fuck that is, but look at this shit. So this is a very small little temple, but there's more steps, more stone steps heading out into the mountains in a different way, apparently to something called Hong Tan. Shit, there's something else I can do. Fuck me. It's a little weird that I'm leaving this neighborhood in a couple of days. But again, it's so easy to get back here. It's no biggie. I can easily come back here. Yeah, I'm discovering a bunch of stuff I can go check out right before I leave. But yeah, something tells me I'll be back because I got the Hong Tan Trail. I got the suspension bridge trail, and then I got the larger thing of trying to get deeper into the national park. This seems like the best method. I suspect the suspension bridge route is one and the same with that. Yeah, walking over a little bridge, walking over the river again. God, this is awesome. This is so awesome. Oh yeah, and there's the sun. Oh, there's like a temple up in the mountains. Is that it? Is that Hongtan? It might be, it's in the right direction. That looks like it would take about 40 minutes to walk to. This is fucking awesome. This is so fucking cool. Like just setting up adventures to have. And they're just such like, goddamn, this is the equivalent in a North American city of just stuff that's downtown. You know, like that's how close it is. That's how easy it is to get to. And man, that is so mega cool. Like to see the sign and then to see, I mean, it feels like a video game. This is why I like don't play that many video games as an adult. I've said this before. But yeah, I love hiking physically. Like I literally just like going up. It's my favorite kind of exercise. So even just going up those steps today, just for the sake of it, would have been fine. But yeah, this feeling of, I think that's why I liked Breath of the Wild so much. It gave you some of this feeling, you know, you got to get up to a mountain and you got to look at the countryside and you got to set a pin and then you got to figure out how to get there. Fucking wonderful. Or I used to play I played Fallout 3 once without fast travel. You just got to literally travel everywhere. And that is like perfect. That is that video game feeling of, I mean, I already feel like I won the loot box today, you know, like sometimes you go out and travel around and you don't find much. And sometimes you find way fucking more cool stuff than you ever expected to find. But then it's like so perfectly set up of, there's the cool sign, the sign that entices you to come back later and check that out. But then to see it, to see like, that's gotta be it. That's gotta be what I'm heading to. And it's right on the horizon. It's like this perfect, you know, obviously the real world is not based on video games. Video games are just trying to give you the feeling of achievement in the real world. But yeah, I mean, it big time works. When I was a younger person, I loved the feeling of fake achievement in a video game world. But yeah, in my 30s, I started putting video games on the hardest setting that they could possibly have. I didn't want to win anymore. I wanted to just have a difficult quest, and I don't need to succeed. I just needed to be tested. And then, you know, there's like the Dark Souls games, such a revolutionary thing. But even those, it's like, yeah, you know, I've gone through enough of those games that there's plenty I just haven't played now. Cause it's like, yeah, you know, I did it. It's fine. And yeah, I've just moved on, moved on to the real world. It's the best outcome, I guess, for somebody who grew up obsessed with video games. They served their purpose. They were cool. But the real feel of like leveling up and exploring and learning stuff and learning about the world and gathering information, and even just if the information is literally just mapping stuff out, just knowing where stuff is, I love it. I love it. It feels so good. And even just shit like making podcasts, you know, it's not as immediately enticing as like leveling up in a video game. It's a lot of work. It's very slow. And you put it out and you're like, geez, I hope someone fucking listens to this. Goddamn rambling. But it's still that feeling of building something. I love it. It's my real life video game. Hiking around, exploring stuff. And yeah, I mean, that's not the worst thing you can do in North America. The only European version I've done is the Netherlands. But yeah, that had its appeal in its own way. But it's a whole different level in Asia just because of the terrain, just because the way things are set up. Everything is so awesome as far as transit goes. You can get wherever you need to get very easily, especially for a lad like me who never learned how to drive and has no license and does none of that stuff. And then there's just these mountains. Yeah, so even just right here on the corner of this road, there are steps that go down toward the river. But it kind of passes down past someone's farm stuff. I don't know if this is anything a person is supposed to do. I don't even know what's down there, but that's the point. I'm sure I could go down there, you know, it would be no big deal. And maybe it's awesome. Maybe it just goes down to a dead end, or maybe there's a whole amazing walk further down the river. I'm just going to stay on the road. But then looking back behind me, it's like, all right, there's the semi-big mountains that I was on. Across the river, there's this temple, which, yeah, the more I see it now, it's not that far at all. That's super doable. I'll be able to get there for sure. And then behind that are the national park mountains, you know, the 1,000-meter mountains. They may be some of the smaller national park mountains, is what Wikipedia said, but they're fucking not small, dude. They're not small at all. They're huge. And again, that video game feeling of, like, I've made it this far. Am I ever going to make it that far? I mean, I might not. I never did make it up Halesan on Jeju. There reaches a point where it's just too much. It's too high up. It's too far away. It's beyond what I can do. But yeah, it feels so good to just try for it, to just keep working toward it, to just add to the skill base, the information base. It's my favorite thing. And these scooters keep going by. Man, I mean, scooters are not a cheat code because, again, I don't have a license. It would be a lot of work for me to be able to get my hands on a scooter, to know how to drive it, to be able to drive it, to be accredited and licensed to drive it, then to actually get a scooter and to pay for it and the maintenance and the gas and everything. But if you do that stuff, it's like an alternate skill tree, again, in a video game. They chose that different route. And the benefits are huge. They can get up here easy. They can get up here, like, no problem at all. Where I have selected the pedestrian life, everything is slower. It is harder to get to places, but it feels way more cool when you pull it off because it was a way harder journey. And it's a lot lighter and a lot more flexible. You know, I'm just a guy with a book bag and that's it, and I can just go wherever. Anyway, I think that's enough rambling about real life video games. Thank you for listening once again. A wonderful day. A wunderbar. Join me next time for more Taipei adventures. Adios.